Welcome to episode 21 of the Landon and Jeff Show. I'm Landon.
And I'm Landon's dad, Jeff. And Landon, what a fun Sunday we had in Florida.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's get right into it. Why don't you tell everybody the scene as we sat together up in your hometown of Jacksonville, Florida, and watched the Miami Miracle.
We were sitting there at a sports bar watching the game because we didn't get the game. And so we were sitting there eating lunch. And as they threw that deep pass to Josh Gordon, I believe it was, and they called PI, the Patriots fans sitting next to us were cheering, thinking the game was over because there's Patriots fans next to us. And we were getting quite a decent amount of upset because it really didn't look like PI. And so after that, then they had the kickoff, and we were yelling at him to slide down or something because he just ran in bounds, wasting clock. And we had the Laddie play, and the whole place was ecstatic. Everyone was watching it, and I was like, wow, that was such a finish. What a finish. What a game. And it really was a great game.
Yeah. So what was going through your mind when the Tannehill passed the ball to Kenny Stills first?
I was curious what we were trying to do because we threw it right into the middle of the field, which typically what you do is you throw it short and towards the boundary so you could catch it, get out, and attempt a Hail Mary. And we didn't do that. We ran a Laddie play, and Gronkowski, maybe one of the greatest tight ends of all time, not a very good safety.
Yeah, so that was the moment for me was as soon as Kenyon got the ball and he made that first cut, I remember I stood up and started screaming at the TV to go and go. But honestly, Landon, I thought he was going to get caught. I didn't realize until he passed that second-to-last defender, the only thing standing between the fastest player in the Miami Dolphins and a game-winning, amazing touchdown was Rob Gronkowski. And I'll take that bet every day of the week. It's amazing to me to think that Adam Gase outcoached Bill Belichick for at least one play.
Yeah, it is. The scenes in Miami were pretty crazy, just watching, just from seeing the stadium and how loud it just became. Imagine how it was like outside the stadium or just around Miami.
So how many times have you watched the play since Sunday? Because I think I'm up to over 100 times watching it.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to that. My one of my journalism teachers who is a Dolphins fan showed me that play, and then they had music to it. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, my favorite one, and I'll send this to you later. You're way too young, but there's a video game way before Madden called Tecmo Bowl, and someone made a Tecmo Bowl version of the Miami Miracle, and it is priceless. It is one of the best pieces of content I've seen. I don't know if you've seen it, Landon, but I'll send it to you after we're done with the pod. It is absolutely amazing. I encourage everybody to kind of Google that. I also love all the merchandise that seems to have been popping up all over social media about the Miami Miracle, you know, t-shirts, hats, everything. I mean, you know, Landon, I think it's hard for you to understand being that you're 13, but this is a play that you'll be able to tell people for 50 years that you remember exactly where you were sitting, what you were doing, what we were eating when the Miami Miracle occurred. And I think that for us Dolphins fans who don't always have it as easy as the Patriots fans, at least for this one, we're going to enjoy it and make sure that they know, that they didn't clinch their division, their 10th division, which they will clinch soon in Miami, which is a nice thing.
Yeah, and just as an added pointer, Miami Miracle t-shirts make pretty good Christmas gifts if you haven't gone shopping already.
Oh, well, we'll have to see, pal. We'll have to see. What else do you want to cover on this game? Because I could talk about this play all day long. The only last thing I want to make sure we touch upon was Ted Larson's block that we've probably – as a group, the Dolphins fans have been pretty hard and deservingly so on Ted Larson. He has not played very good football. He certainly was signed to be a backup, and unfortunately he's had to play almost the entire season. But, man, he hustled the entire way down. And, Landon, to me, the message that taught me is that this team is playing hard for Coach Gase. So as much as I'm confused as to what we need to do going forward, we have a realistic shot at making the playoffs because Minnesota's a dumpster fire right now on offense. And then we finish with the Jaguars, which is your local dumpster fire. And then we play the Bills. And it would be so Dolphins for us to beat the Vikings, to beat the Jaguars, and then to lose to the Bills. But who knows? Maybe things are changing. Maybe the Miami Miracle is going to change everything for us.
I mean, yeah, that play was just all about heart. And throughout the whole game it was, because we went back and forth scoring with the Patriots, and we kept up with them. And that's something we haven't been able to do with some of these teams that we've lost to, other than, of course, the Bengals game and the other team. I'm completely blanking who it was, where we just completely gave them the win. But, yeah, we kept up with them. That's something we haven't really been able to do. And that was pretty impressive.
Yeah, that you're right, because, you know, the last couple weeks, especially look at the last game against Buffalo, we had, 175 yards total offense. And, you know, the defense was without Xavien Howard. The defense was pitiful, and we gave up play after play. But I told you going into the game that's what's going to happen. New England's great. You know, this is, takes nothing away from what they have accomplished and probably will accomplish this year. They're a great team. But we definitely need some help on defense. We had a pass rush. We got in there a little bit. That sack before halftime was huge. The fact that we didn't let them score before halftime turned out to be huge, and we got some good pressure. But it seemed to me, Landon, like guys were playing hard for Adam Gase, and that was my takeaway. Frank Gore averaging 7 yards a run. You know, we had a Brandon Bolden sighting not once but twice with 2 touchdowns. Who would have guessed that would have happened? I don't even know how he got into the game. You know, Kenyon, obviously, in that last play, even Devontae, who looked like he was, you know, fully engaged in it. I love the fact that these guys play. And Landon, I have another guy who is climbing up my ranks of current favorite Dolphins.
All right. Is that Bryce Butler?
That is Bryce Butler. He is tall. He looks the part. But what's the difference is he seems like he can play the part. The other thing I like about Bryce Butler, Landon, is he's an addicted golfer. He sent a video yesterday of him playing Doral in Miami and making a birdie. He is into golf, and you know that that's something that I'm very passionate about and something that makes me like him more. So Bryce Butler, and I love the fact that we just found out that they signed him for 2 years, not just this year. So we get a whole offseason with him, and he looks like he could be a legitimate player. As we talked about a little bit this weekend, wide receiver is strength of the Dolphins, especially because next year we'll get Albert Wilson back and we'll get Jakeem Grant back. I'm a little excited there. I'm still not, you know, I don't want to make this another Ryan Tannehill podcast because there's too many of those, but I will applaud the effort that everyone on the Dolphins team showed me this week. And if we keep that up for the next 3 weeks, I won't be disappointed.
Yeah, I agree. And even our defensive line, which has been beyond disappointing, looked pretty good in that game.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, we're definitely, you know, we're definitely injured. We're definitely hurt. We definitely are down some players. But that old adage of next man up is coming to fruition, and the guys look good. And I'll tell you, Frank Gore running for 7 yards a carry is just so inspiring to see. A veteran like that who quite honestly doesn't need to be playing the game, but he does it because he wants to, and doesn't need to be in Miami, but he wants to be there. It's just great. And I'm very excited to see kind of what we do next.
Yeah, I am very excited to see what we do in years to come with the team that we have, because we have fairly good foundations. We have players who can be on our team for a while as long as we sign them, like Xavien Howard, Kenyon Drake, just a few playmakers that we have. And they're going to be with us for the long run. So I'm excited to see what we do to try and build around them.
Yeah, so if you look at the most important positions in football, right, it's pretty definitive. It's the quarterback. It's the left tackle. It's a cornerback who can stop any passes from coming that direction. And it's a pass rusher on the defensive end. So I would say we're 50% there, because we have Xavien as the best cornerback in football. If you haven't voted for him for the Pro Bowl, Landon, stop what you're doing after this pod and vote for him for the Pro Bowl. I did. You have Laremy Tunsil, who, again, stop what you're doing, vote for him for the Pro Bowl. Those are two key positions. I think Minkah may end up as some type of hybrid, you know, cornerback safety. He's going to be huge. And then we just got to get the quarterback solved. And like I said, we're not going to make this a Tannehill conversation, but we'll get the quarterback solved, and then we'll be off to the races, because there's a lot of other pieces there. But I definitely feel way better after this game than I did the last, you know, couple weeks ago. And it just seems like the effort is what I was looking for, and I saw the effort. So I'm real pleased about that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's someone who you've completely missed and would make very upset if they listen to this podcast, and that is Kiko Alonso. He has been playing very, very well. He's been an elite linebacker. So if you haven't already, vote for him.
So the four Dolphins I voted for were Xavien Howard, Laremy Tunsil, Kiko Alonso, and Walt Akins as a special teamer. Those are the guys that I voted for. No one else on the team, I think, deserved to get in over other guys in the league. There's so many good players, obviously, but those are the guys I voted in. So hopefully you guys at home will vote. Hopefully, Landon, when we're done with the pod, you will vote because you need to do that. And are anything else you want to talk about the victorious Miami Miracle game, or do you want to move on to Monday to the team that played on Monday night, who we will play Sunday up in, thank God it's indoor, Minnesota, the Vikings?
I want to move on to the Vikings. I feel like, although it's worthy, it's been pretty talked about a lot, that Miami game. And I feel like it's time to move on from that, just temporarily. Let's move on to the Vikings.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep talking about it in my head. But let's talk about the Vikings. So the Vikings have seemed to be repeating a pattern that we've seen from them for the past 4 or 5 years. They have an excellent defense. Their head coach, Mike Zimmer, an excellent defensive coach. And once again, they cannot get the offense going. They spent $84 million on Kirk Cousins. That looks like one of the worst signings I could remember in a long time. And they just this week fired the guy who last year was the whiz of the Philadelphia Eagles offense, along with Frank Reich, John DeFilippo. Coach Flip is out. They have a new offensive coordinator who has never called plays before in the NFL, and Zimmer's not going to call him because he's a defensive guy. I think we're catching the Vikings, Landon, at an absolute perfect time.
Yeah, I feel like this is right in the mix where they're almost like beating themselves here. I feel like they're hurting themselves in this game more than they're helping themselves. And Miami's not as bad as we came in to the season thinking we would be. So I feel like this is going to be a very good game to watch if for Dolphins fans, because we're blowing them out, or just simply because it's a close game.
Yeah, well, the thing for me, Landon, that I'm still kind of having a hard time processing, if you look at the stats, and Mike and Tom did this on their recap, if you listen to that after the game on Sunday, we're our point differential's awful. We're like minus 80. All the other teams we're competing with then for this last playoff berth all have positive point differential, but who cares? You know, we're here and we have an opportunity. And, you know, the thing about the Vikings is they have such an explosive offense, but their quarterback can't get it done for them. And this is the thing that scares me about, you know, if we do get rid of Tannehill, you got to make sure you have a plan B, and that plan B has got to be better, because Kirk Cousins has not looked good. The Monday Night Football guys did an excellent job of showing how if you put pressure on him, he quickly checks down to backs, even in 3rd and 10, 3rd and 12, he's throwing 2-yard passes and those aren't going to be converted. And, you know, Stephon Diggs had one long play of 48 yards, and that was a glorified jump ball. Thielen had a couple plays, but those were like wide receiver screens that he made the play on his own. Dalvin Cook looks good, but their line was not real good. Landon, I think we have a chance if we can put some pressure on him to really rattle that guy.
Yeah, I think we do. And something that I'm somewhat hoping for now, this may not be the most realistic thing, is if something ever happens to Zimmer, I feel like he'd be a perfect defensive coordinator for us.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's going anywhere, but you're right. He is super, super good. And I think that, we have just the right guy, to potentially counteract him in Adam Gase. And I will say this, there were some play calls that drove me nuts from Adam Gase this week, but it's becoming fewer and fewer. The one that drove me nuts, as you know, was the 3rd and 1, and we did a play action. And by the time we finished the play action, Tannehill was sacked. Everyone in the building knew we weren't going to run that ball because we're the only team that doesn't ever run on 3rd and 1. So that kind of drove me a little nuts. But I'll tell you, Landon, the opportunity here is if we can get out there and stop Cousins early and just get them thinking, here we go again, and have an inexperienced play caller, I think we got a real good shot, Landon. And then, like I said, we have those last two games. They're all winnable right here. And we could do the opposite of what the Dolphins normally do. We can close strong, and that would be exciting for me.
Yeah, I feel like all now we have to work on is the gap between the beginning and the end of the season, because we've been very good at the very beginning of the season, winning those first three games. And then we're looking very strong going into these last couple of games. And I feel like if we just almost don't lose Tannehill in the middle of the season, we could be a much better team and not even have to worry about trying to get into the playoffs, because we'd be around where the Chargers are right about now.
Yeah. Well, the thing with me, Landon, is if you think about it this way, and you can't look back, but the Colts game, we should have never lost, and we should not have lost the Bengals game. So in reality, instead of being 7-6, we should be 9-4. But the reality is we are 7-6. So why don't you give me, I give you my key. My key was the pass rush. Why don't you give me a key or two for this week's game against the Minnesota Vikings?
My key is stuffing the run early. I feel like if we come out with an inexperienced play caller on their half, I feel like if we come out and we really try and go and try and stop the run game early, Kirk Cousins will have to be forced for the ball 40-something times. And I really don't see that being a good thing for him, considering how he's been playing recently and how good our defense has been playing. And I highly doubt that they're going to keep running the ball if they have under 30 to 20 yards at halftime. So I feel like if we stuff the run early, I feel like that could be positive for us.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very, very good point. I think that if we can stop Dalvin Cook and Murray, I think we'll be in a really, really good spot. Those are all excellent observations.
Thank you.
All right. What else do you want to cover before we make our picks? We went 1-2 last week. Mike went 1-2 last week. He still has a one-game lead against us as we enter these last 3 weeks of the season.
This isn't really me covering something. This is me asking a more or less a question. Consider, sure. Like, I should know this, but is Xavien Howard coming back this week?
We don't know, but I would be surprised if he played. He had a little knee meniscus surgery last week, but as of right now, when we're recording this, I do not know if he is going to play this week. Let me look it up real quick. It says no sign of him. He does not practice today. He is still out of practice today. So I think that odds are he's not going to play, but who knows? We'll see when we get there.
Yeah, my one last thing that I want to add, because that's kind of scary, is Adam Thielen in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. He just gets targeted, and he gets so many receptions, and he just makes people miss. And that kind of worries me if you don't have our lockdown man. Hopefully we'll be able to make it to where it won't matter. But Adam Thielen, I feel like, is almost scaring me more than Stephon Diggs is.
Yeah, this might be a game to play zone and allow Kirk Cousins just to check down the whole game. And if we do that, I think we have a good shot. So, all right, Landon, I want to hear your prediction for the Miami Dolphins traveling to Minnesota, thankfully to play them indoors against the Minnesota Vikings. What do you got?
So, in my opinion, Seattle, a team that's worse than us, beat them marginally on Monday Night Football at home. Now, I feel like we're better, but they're at home. So, I feel like the score is going to be close to 14-3, if not higher on the Dolphins side.
Okay. Well, I'm going to make my pick in that game, and I think the Dolphins are going to win 28-17. In fact, Landon, I'm so confident I am making the Dolphins my pick because they are getting 7 points right now. So that is my one pick as we're going to try to see if good can beat evil, if we can beat Mike and earn these Syracuse hats. So that's my pick. Dolphins win the game by a bunch and getting 7 points, no brainer.
Okay. So I see the Kansas City Chiefs beating the Chargers as my next game. So what really tipped on the thing over is, believe it or not, the Chargers are only 3 games or 1 game behind the Chiefs, which is kind of shocking. But I feel like the Chiefs are going to win, especially considering it's a Thursday night game. Thursday night home teams win basically every time, if not every time. And my next pick is the Bears over the Packers.
So just so everyone can follow along, the Chiefs are a 3.5-point favorite at home against the Chargers, 3.5. Then you're taking the Bears over the Packers. That's smart. I would pick against Joe Philbin. The Bears are only a 5.5-point favorite.
And the Panthers did look very good, but they were up against the Falcons. And I really don't think the Falcons are good. They have a lot of talent, but I feel like Dan Quinn's almost wasting it for them.
Yeah, well, I'm not allowed to talk bad about the Falcons. Landon, do you know why?
Why is that?
Because my boss, Mr. Harry, is a huge Falcons fan. So I wish them nothing but the best, and I hope that they win every week.
Hasn't happened this year.
No. So is that all right, been can our I cover pick? one last Those are our three picks.
Oh, yeah.
So
go ahead.
Just to review for everyone, our three picks are the Dolphins plus 7, the Chiefs minus 3.5, the Bears minus 5.5. The last thing, Landon, is my good friend Scott Gorrell, Scotty G as we call him here, was all set to come on. He's a lifelong Patriots fan, and he wanted to talk to us, and he just hasn't shown up. So is there anything you'd like to say to Scott, knowing that he listens to the pod every week? And I'm really bummed out. We really wanted him to come in to kind of give the other side of the Miami Miracle. I wanted to know what it felt like to kind of think you were seconds away from winning a division and then to have it kind of fall flat on your face while your tight end's playing defense. Anything you'd like to say to Scott, who chose not to be here?
I mean, come on. Like, I know it doesn't feel good to have a trick play right against you that successfully, and I feel like every team that's played Aaron Rodgers has known this, especially the Lions. But I mean, come on. I mean, at least respect it a little bit. It was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I agree with you, Landon, that we should have had Scott on the podcast. But unfortunately, his quote was, "I'm very, very busy." You know, it's weird. I think I see him over there just kind of sitting there taking a nap in the corner. So who knows? Who knows?
Yep.
All right, Landon, anything else you'd like to comment on before we wrap up episode 21?
Let's go, Miami.
All right, Landon, why don't you take it home?
That has been episode 21 of the Landon and Jeff Show. I'm Landon.
And I'm Landon's dad, Jeff. And for No Show Scott and Landon and I, thanks so much for listening.